ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد
وآله محمد.
لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. A few words concerning the recent change in dates, in the date of Ashura. I think the issue was a little bit of lack of communication, and my initial reluctance to get in to interfere in basically the affairs as a guest. I didn't see it appropriate that I should interfere in setting the agenda and setting the determining the program for this center. But seeing the dire situations that we were facing in this at this center, at Al Walaya Center, I was compelled this morning to have a lengthy and extensive conversation with Brother Ali Reza. We deciphered all the facts, we went through all the facts, and based on that we realized that not only as a matter of unity and compromise with the other centers and what is going on in LA, which is not a big concern for us, but mainly as a matter of duty, we are actually bound to announce tomorrow to be Ashura. How is that? First off, based on Sayyid Khamenei's view, sighting the moon with assisted vision, with binoculars, with telescope, is a valid way for determining the beginning of the month. And a trustworthy brother in the LA community did in fact sight the moon Friday evening, and the picture is posted on moon sighting website. And as you might know, one of the ways that you can confirm that the moon has been sighted is if you have the testimony of a person, and that testimony gives you itminan or confidence. So there's different ways for verifying whether the moon has been sighted. One way is that two men whose virtue and piety you confirm, but whose testimony alone, each of them individually, does not give you confidence, they come up to you and they tell you that we have sighted the moon. In the parlance of the Fuqaha, if their testimony gives you dhan, that is, gives you a feeling that it's you're pretty sure that what they're telling you is correct. And so that's one way. So if two adil men, two pious, virtuous men come to you, that's one way. The second way is if one person whose testimony gives you confidence, gives you itminan, tells you that he has sighted the moon. That's another one. And in fact, we have this testimony. What's his name, brother? Brother Shahid Bassawi. He sighted the moon with binoculars. He's posted his comment about the sighting on Moon Sighting website. He's posted the picture there as well. And he cited him on Friday night. So, and his testimony gives us confidence. We know him. We know Brother Ali Rizal. We know this brother. He's been doing this moon sighting business for a number of years. So, and like I said, picture is there. So it's not, there's no question about the credibility of the testimony. That's one development that led to the change that was announced today. Another development pertained to the brother in San Diego, Brother Kazim Mamdani, who'd sighted the moon with his bare eyes. And this was initially the problem because we didn't know Kazim Mamdani, Brother Al-Ghazal didn't know Kazim Mamdani, and to a point where we could trust and rely on his testimony. His testimony being a singular testimony, not being supported by a second testimony. But today, we contacted, in fact, Brother Shahid, Brother Shahid Bassali. He knows Kazim Mamdani for many, many years, and he vouched for Kazim Mamdani. So now we are also confident in the testimony of Brother Kazim Mamdani in San Diego. So those basically, alhamdulillah, now there's no issue whether either for the followers of Sayyid Khamenei or for the followers of Sayyid Sistani. For the followers of Sayyid Khamenei, it's much simpler because it was sighted here by a person in the community with through binoculars. For Sayyid Sistani, because this, for the followers of Sayyid Sistani, because this brother sighted in San Diego, sighted the moon, and with his bare eyes, and we have confidence in him. And those of you who follow Sayyid Sistani and who trust our judgment, inshallah, this what I've just conveyed to you is enough. It could be enough to give you confidence, and in fact, if you have confidence in our judgment, then you can consider this change of date to be accurate, to be valid, and tomorrow to be Ashura, inshallah. That's basically the entire story. And if there are any questions, I would be willing to take them in this relation, either from the brothers or the sisters. Please recite a subject.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.
Tonight is the night of Ashura. It's not really a night for giving speeches. It's a night of mourning. It's a night of sorrow, a night of grief. But as we are here, inshallah, to learn from the words of the Ahlul Bayt, I'll finish up the topic I started last night. Hopefully it won't take long, inshallah ta'ala. Then we'll move on to the Masaib and to the Lakmiyah, inshallah ta'ala. As mentioned last night, one of the most important things we need to do in preparation for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi is building strong communities. Building strong communities relies and depends on, one of the things it relies and depends on is having strong, healthy, spiritually robust families. And I explained how having robust and strong and healthy families is opposed to the interests of the tawaghit, of the evil powers, of the evil forces. Yesterday, last night, I mentioned some general points about how we need to treat the family. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I'll mention some points about how we as parents, or especially as fathers, must treat our children. These points are derived from the words of the Ahlul Bayt, and inshallah, by observing these points, by putting these points into practice, we can, inshallah, have healthier, more spiritually robust families, inshallah ta'ala. Ba'unihi wa ta'ala. First off, there's a very interesting riwayah related in Kitab al-Kafi, the very authentic and credible book of al-Kafi, by Shaykh Al-Kulayni. In volume 6, Kitab al-Aqiqah, which contains some of the rights that parents and especially fathers must observe in relation to their children. Very, very important points. I'll read to you the riwayat. Sakuni is the reporter, the narrator. He says, Dakhaltu ala Abi Abdullah. Sakuni, he goes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. He'd been recently gifted by God, blessed by God with a daughter. He was upset at having a daughter. Especially in the Arab culture back then, having daughters was viewed as a sort of obstacle, as an obligation, as something that does not, the parents cannot reap rewards from having a daughter. A son can grow up and help his parents and go to work and bring them money and income, but daughters can't do that, or can't do it as effectively as the boys, and so they were viewed as a burden and for many people. So Sakuni says, I went to Imam Sadiq and I told him, and I was unhappy. دخلت على أبي عبد الله عليه السلام وأنا مغموم مكروب. I was unhappy. فقال لي يا سكوني مما غمك. What makes you unhappy? Why do I see you unhappy? قلت ولدت لي ابنة. I've been given a daughter. فقال يا سكوني على الأرض ثقلها. وعلى الله رزقها تعيش في غير أجلك وتأكل من غير رزقك. Why are you unhappy? She will live on God's earth, and God would provide her provisions, her rizq, the money you need to for raising her. And this is the first point. We talked about this last night. We talked about how important it is to have as many children as we can. One of the issues mentioned was that if we have too many children, or if we have 3 or 4 children, one of the concerns that many parents have is that the quality of life decreases. And this is something that is so emphasized in the West. The quality of life decreases if you have too many kids. That goes against the Tawheedi vision of the world. The Ahlul Bayt have told us to have more kids. By having more kids, inshallah, we can prepare the grounds for the return of Imam Mahdi. Let's not worry about the financial aspect so much. Let's leave it in God's hands. It might be difficult. It might be difficult. Yes, there might be difficulties. That's not something that can be doubted. But the rewards and the consequences of having more kids is definitely worthwhile. Especially in light of the riwayah that I will read to you, inshallah, about the spiritual blessings and the blessings in the afterlife that parents receive on account of their children. So Imam Sadiq tells Sakuni, don't worry about the financial issues. That's something that God will take care of, inshallah ta'ala. Fasarra wallahi anni. That, what Imam Sadiq told me, made me happy. فَقَالَ لِي مَا سَمَّيْتَهَا. Imam Sadiq asked me, what did you name her? قُلْتُ فَاطِمَةَ. I've named her Fatima. Imam Sadiq says, ah. Imam Sadiq sighs from hearing the name of her mother, the name of his mother. And then he goes on to explain the rites that the parents must observe in relation to their children. ثُمَّ وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ جَبْهَتِهِ. From hearing the name of his mother, he showed his respect. And then he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقُّ الْوَلَدِ عَلَىٰ وَالِدِهِ إِنْ كَانَ ذَكَرًا أَنْ يَسْتَفْرَهَ أُمَّهِ. So it starts enumerating the rights of the children. One right, which is very important, which we neglect often, and Imam Sadiq, very interestingly, points it out as the first right, is that we must show respect to the mother of the child. Treat the mother, treat our wives respectfully. Don't use bad language at home. Don't use bad language with your wife, with your spouse, with the mother of your children. Don't argue with the wife, with the mother of the children, in front of the children. The first right that Imam Sadiq mentions, حق الولد على والده إذا كان ذكرا أن يستفرها أمه. To treat the mother of the children respectfully. It is extremely detrimental to the psychological, mental, spiritual, emotional well-being of the children for the father to speak disrespectfully to the mother. So dads, moms, if you have arguments, take it to the bedroom. Don't argue in front of the kids. That's the first lesson that Imam Sadiq gives us. Do not argue in front of the kids. Fathers, dads, don't speak disrespectfully to the mothers. You must show respect to the mother. You must teach your children to be respectful toward their mother. وَيَسْتَحْسِنَ إِسْمَهُ. Choose good names for your children. وَيُعَلِّمَهُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. Teach him the Quran. For boys, وَيُعَلِّمَهُ السَّبَاحَ. Teach him how to swim. That's something that numerous riwayat emphasize, teaching children, teaching boys especially how to swim. These are the rights in relation to boys. In relation to girls, إذا كانت أنثى, if the child that God blesses you with is a girl, again, the first thing is that is mentioned, إذا كانت أنثى, أيستفرها أمها. Respect the mother. Show respect to your wife. Don't argue with your wife in front of the kids. وَيَسْتَحْسَنَ إِسْمَهَا وَيُعَلَّمَهَا سُورَةَ النُّورِ وَلَا يُعَلَّمَهَا سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ. Very interesting. Wow. Imam Sadiq says, teach your daughters Surah An-Nur, when they're young, of course, when they grow up, they have to learn the entire Quran. But as children, teach your daughters Surah An-Nur, but don't teach them Surah Yusuf. Allama Majlisi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allahumma Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his exposition of this riwayah, explains why Imam Sadiq says this. Because Surah Yusuf contains this story, a love story, whereas Surah An-Nur contains the punishments imposed upon men and women that commit indecencies. That's a big lesson, especially here in the States. Imam Sadiq tells us that you cannot expose your children to the entire Quran. There are certain parts of the Quran that you should teach to your children. If that is the case with the Quran, it applies to a much, much, much greater degree to TVs, what shows our kids watch on TV, having the TV on all the time, cartoons, iPhones and iPads. It's very important that we control these things. The information that goes into the heads of our children, that needs to be controlled. Here in the West, they say psychologists or pundits say that you have to leave your children free. Yet children must be exposed. They have to encounter these things sometime in their lives. So just let them be exposed to these things. But if you pay attention to those issues that are actually really important to this society, to the political establishment here in the West, they exercise this very great degree of control. So about political issues that are important to the Tawaghis, they are actually very careful what goes into the minds of the kids. Okay. But about gender issues, because they don't care anymore about those things, they say, okay, you can let your kids be exposed to these things. They have to encounter them sometime in life. That is not the case with us. We must take control of what goes into the heads of our children. And that's why, brothers and sisters, it's so important to have Muslim schools wherever we can, whenever we can, and to support the Muslim schools that we have. Unfortunately, many communities here in the U.S. have Muslim communities, have Muslim schools, but the Muslim schools are under pressure for financial issues, under pressure for different reasons. They need to be supported. Our children must, whenever possible, to the extent possible, go to Muslim schools. That's a must. So, يُعَلِّمَهَا سُورَةَ النُّورِ وَلَا يُعَلِّمَهَا سُورَةَ يُوسُفِ. Another important issue in relation to girls, وَلَا يُنزِلَهَا الْغُرَفِ. Do not, غُرَف, غُرَف is the plural of غُرْفَة. What does غُرْفَة mean in Arabic language? غُرْفَة pertains, or غُرْفَة means the rooms in the second floors of houses. That's what it used to mean in classic Arabic. I don't know what it means, I'm not sure what it means today. But in classic Arabic, that's what it meant. rooms that were on the second level of the building. And the reason for this is that the houses were built in such a way that the second floor had more exposure to what was going on in the street. So Imam Sadiq is telling us that we should try to minimize the exposure of our daughters to the public places where men frequent. Not that we should imprison our daughters, that's not the issue. We must be careful to take good care of our daughters. Lessen the exposure, decrease the exposure. Very important. وَيُعَجَّلْ صَرَاحَهَا إِلَى بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. Another issue that we neglect a lot of times. Make sure that they get married as soon as possible. I mentioned this in Houston a couple months ago, and people were like, some people, those who like to cause fitna, they were like, Sheikh says that you need to marry off your girls when they're 9 years old. That's not what I mean. But the fact is, our daughters and our boys, our sons, they need to get married as soon as possible. It's something that Islam tells us, and we don't shy away from it. It's one of the duties that the parents have. Imam Sadiq then goes on to say, أَمَّا إِذَا سَمَّيْتَهَا فَاطِمَةً فَلَا تَسُبَّهَا وَلَا تَلْعَنْهَا وَلَا تَغْرِبْهَا. You should never hit or beat your children. It's haram. But especially if you name your daughter Fatima, in remembrance of Sayyidah Fatima, make sure you definitely observe that. One other right that our children have and that we must observe, and that Islam stresses a lot, and that in the Western culture, unfortunately, is something that is totally neglected, is how important it is to hug and kiss our children. It seems and sounds very simple, but it's extremely effective in the spiritual, emotional, psychological well-being of our children. And there is so many riwayat in our books of tradition that emphasize that. عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام إمام صادق صلى الله عليه وسلم إمام صادق عليه الصلاة والسلام relates from the Prophet عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قبل ولده كتب الله عز وجل له حسنة. For every kiss that you place on the face of your child, God writes a thawab in the hereafter. وَمَنْ فَرَّحَهُ فَرَّحَ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. To make your children happy on the day of judgment, God will make you happy. Another riwayah again from Imam Sadiq عليه الصلاة والسلام قَالَ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ. You might have heard this. فقال ما قبلت سبيا قط. I have never kissed my children at this point in time. فلما ولى, when the guy left, the guy comes to the Prophet and says, I have never kissed my children. When he leaves, the Prophet says, هذا رجل عندي أنه من أهل النار. A person who does not have that mercy in his heart to kiss and hug his children as a person that belongs in the hellfire. So kissing and hugging our children, especially up to the age of 6 and 7, the Rawayat have emphasized this age, up to the age of 6 and 7. Kissing and hugging our children on their forehead, on the cheeks, it's something that is extremely beneficial, conducive to their psychological well-being. Another point that the Rawayat emphasize, and we fathers tend to neglect, and I try to be careful about this point, but sometimes, unfortunately, I am at fault for this issue, is to keep our promise to our children. To keep our promise to our children. When we tell them something, when we tell them that we're going to buy them something, that we're going to give them something, keep that promise. Very important for their spiritual and psychological well-being. Imam Kadhim, alayhi salatu wassalam, says, إِذَا وَعَدْتُمْ أَصْبِيَانَ فَفُو لَهُمْ. When you give promises to your children, make sure you observe and make good on those promises. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمُ الَّذِينَ تَرَزَقُونَهُمْ. It mentions the point why it's so important to observe our promises, because our children don't really have an understanding of God yet. They see us as their razzaq. They see their parents as the people who are responsible for providing them with their food, with whatever they need, with their needs. So when we renege on our promises, it creates a sense of instability, insecurity, and mistrust in the children. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمُ الَّذِينَ تَرَزُقُونَهُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, please pay attention, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ يَغْذِبُ لِشَيْءٍ كَغَذَبِهِ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَالصَّبْيَانِ. There is nothing in this world that makes God unhappy than mistreating our children and wives. No kidding. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَيْسَ يَغْذَبُ لَشَيْءٍ كَغَذَبِهِ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَالصَّبِيَانِ. Next point, which again is, all these points, I think they're very applicable in our lives. Next point, help him be good to yourselves. Don't be too demanding on your children. What happens a lot of times is that parents are so nitpicking in finding fault with the actions of their children, that whatever the children do, there's something that makes the parents to be unhappy. By being nitpicking, by being unhappy, you're actually helping your children to feel like they cannot make you satisfied, that they cannot make you happy. And that's not spiritually and psychologically beneficial for them. Don't be too demanding. Help them, in the words of the Imam, help them be good to yourself. Imam Sadiq, from the Prophet, عن أبي عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رحم الله من أعان ولده على بره. God bless the person who helps his children be good to him. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ وَلَدَهُ عَلَى بِرِّهِ قَالَ قُلْتُ كَيْفَ يُعِينُهُ عَلَى بِرِّهِ قَالَ يَقْبَلُ مَيْسُورَهُ وَيَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ مَعْسُورِهِ. When you tell them to do something and they try to do what you've told them, don't try to find fault with what they've done. You tell your son, please pour me a cup of tea. He pours you a cup of tea. He brings it to you. And then you say, well, why didn't you fill it up? Why didn't you put sugar in it? Why did you spill it? That's not the way you should do it. Try, don't be nitpicking. Don't find fault with what your children do. When you tell them something, be content with what they do. Show them that you're happy. Show them that happiness. Show them respect. Very important. Show them respect. Don't make fun of children. When they do something, don't laugh at them. Don't belittle them. Don't degrade them.
قال النبي أكرموا أولادكم وأحسنوا أدبهم يغفر لكم.
Show respect to your children. Give them a sense of self-esteem, self-dignity. Don't belittle them in order to promote yourself, in order to show that whatever you do is better than what they do. And next point, to inculcate in our children a sense of religiosity and faith, especially here in the West. This is so important. To teach them who our Ahlul Bayt are, to teach them what Islam is, the way of life that Islam says, that Islam shows. There's a riwayah of Imam Hassan Askari. Where he says, on the Day of Judgment, people are brought before God, and they receive rewards for what they have not done. They're totally surprised. They don't know what these rewards that they're receiving is for. They ask God, oh God, the deeds that we've done, we know what deeds that we've done. Our deeds have already been calculated. The rewards that you're giving us are far greater than what our deeds deserve. What are these for? What are these for? And God replies, هَذَا بِتَعْلِيمِكُمَا وَلَدَكُمَا الْقُرْآنَ وَتَبِصِيرَكُمَا إِيَّاهُ بِدِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This is because you taught your children Qur'an. This is because he opened the eyes of your children to the way of life of Islam. وَرِيَاذَتِكُمَا إِيَّاهُ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَعَلِي وَلِيَ اللَّهِ وَمُعَادَاتَ أَعْدَاهِمَا. Because you infused their hearts with the love of the Ahlul Bayt, and with the animosity of the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. There are several things, there are a number of things that we can do as parents to to make sure that we do actually infuse the hearts of our children with the love of the Ahlul Bayt. Mothers, when they have babies, make sure you have wudu. You are spiritually purified, you are spiritually pure when you are nursing your children. Not having music on all the time at home. Even when you're watching TV, when you're watching different shows, make sure when the music comes on, you mute it. It's very spiritually detrimental to the children to listen to music. Next point, when do we start requiring our children to observe religious duties and obligations? Imam Sadiq says, عن أبي عبد الله that Imam Baqir says, إِنَّا نَأْمُرُ صَبِيَانَنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ إِذَا كَانُوا بَنِي خَمْسٍ. We, the Ahlul Bayt, order our children to start praying when they're 5 years old. فَمُرُوا صَبِيَانَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ إِذَا كَانُوا بَنِي سَبْعَ سَنِينَ. But you guys order your children to pray when they're 7 years old. The 7 years is really important, as I'll read to you the rawayat that will follow. This 7 year period is very important. So the first 7 years of their life, leave them alone, let them be free. When they hit 7 years of age, start requiring them to pray, to do their prayers on time. وَنَحْنُ نَأْمُرُ صِبْيَانَنَا بِالصَّوْمِ إِذَا كَانُوا بَنِي سَابَعَ سِنِينَ بِمَا أَثَاقُوا مِنْ سِيَامِ الْيَوْمِ إِنْ كَانَ إِلَىٰ نِسْفِ النَّهَارِ أَوْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ أَقَلْ فَإِذَا غَلَبَهُمُ الْعَطَشِ وَالْغَرَثِ أَفْتَرُوا. And then the rawayat continues, فَمُرُوا صِبْيَانَكُمْ إِذَا كَانُوا بَنِي تَسْعِ. We require our children to fasting when they are 7 years of age. You require your children to start fasting when they're 9. تسعر. بني تسعر. When they're 9 years of age. But how should this be done? Don't require them to fast from morning, from dusk to dawn. But what they call in Farsi, روزی کلگون مشکی. Make them fast in the morning, once they're 9 years old, and then whatever amount that they can fast, whether it's 2 hours, 3 hours, get them in the habit of fasting from when they're 9 years old. 2 hours and 3 hours, and if they can't take it anymore, allow them to break their fast. So for prayers, for salat, we require our children to start praying from the age 7. For fasting, it's the age 9. In this 7 year period is very important. You might have heard this before. From when they're born until the age 7, children must be left alone. They must be given a great deal of freedom. They must be given freedom to play, to do whatever they want. Give him minimum orders. Give him minimum orders up to the age of 7. From the age of 7 to the age of 14 is the age that they must be disciplined and principled. Age 7 to 14. And from 14 on, they're basically on their own. You can help them learn their ahkam, but from 14 on, they're basically on their own. So the main time frame in which we can teach our children adab, how to act religiously, how to act Islamically, is from age 7 to age 14.
عن أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام قال يرخى الصبي سبعة.
Children must be left alone for 7 years.
ويؤدب سبعة.
From age 7 to age 14 they're disciplined.
ويستخدم سبعة.
From 14 on they can be a counselor to you, they can be a helper to you, but the age of disciplining is over. From age 14, the age of disciplining is over. We must treat our children equally.
اعدلوا بين أولادكم, the Prophet has said.
We must treat our children equally, but girls must be given precedence in buying gifts, in giving our children gifts. Girls must receive special attention because of the special role they play, because of the sensitive role they play, and because of the difficulties that they will face in their lives, which is, by all accounts, more than what the men have to go through. So the Prophet has said, سَوُّوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ فِي الْعَتِيَّةِ. Try to be just, try to be fair among your children when you give him something.
وَلَوْ كُنْتَ مُفَذِّلًا أَحَدًا لَفَضَّلْتَ الْإِنَاثِ.
But if you are to give precedence to some of your children, give precedence and priority to the daughters. Another rawayat from the Prophet,
مَنْ دَخَلَ السُّوقِ.
A person who enters the marketplace.
فَاشْتَرَى تُحْفَةً فَحَمَلَهَا إِلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ.
Buy something for his family.
كَانَ كَحَامِلِ صَدَقَةٍ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مَحَاوِيجِ.
It's as though he is giving sadaqah, the value of buying a present, a gift, something, some goodies for the family is like the value of giving sadaqah to a number of poor people.
وَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالْإِنَاثِ قَبْلَ الذُّكُورِ.
But make sure when you want to give the presents to your children, start with the daughters. Daughters, the girls take precedence.
لِيَبْدَأْ بِالْإِنَاثِ قَبْلَ الذُّكُورِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ فَرَّحَ أُنْثَى فَكَأَنَّمَا أَعْتَقَ رَقَبَةً مِنْ وَلْدِ إِسْمَاعِيلِ.
By making your daughters happy, by making our daughters happy, the blessing is so great. It is as though we have freed one of the children, one of the Bani Hashim, one of the children of Ismail that had been in prison. It's equal to the value of freeing one of the children of Hazrat Ismail from imprisonment. Some points that I thought were worthwhile, derived from the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, to mention in helping us improve our family life, the spiritual standard of life, of our family life, inshallah ta'ala. And by having stronger families, inshallah ta'ala, we can have stronger communities. By having strong communities, inshallah ta'ala, we can hasten the reappearance of our imam, inshallah ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala محمد محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. يا حجة ابن الحسن، يا حجة ابن الحسن، أحسن الله لك العزاء في جدك الحسين. Oh our Lord, our Master. Oh our Lord, our Master, Imam Mahdi. Please accept our condolences on account of the martyrdom of your father, Imam Hussein. You're the one who is grieving most. أحسن الله لك العزاء. أحسن الله لك العزاء يا مولاي يا حجة ابن الحسن، يا مولاي يا حجة ابن الحسن. Let us console the heart of our master Imam Mahdi by sending our salam to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to Imam Hussein. As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifana'in. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بغيت وبغي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Tonight is the night of Ashura. Tonight is the night of Ashura. Tonight is the night of Ashura. The night of grief.
brothers and sisters, tonight is not supposed to be like any other night. Tonight and tomorrow, make sure that you respect Abu Abdullah, that you respect Imam Hussein, and the sorrow and grief of the Ahlul Bayt by refraining from showing any type of happiness. All the sacrifice that they did for us, this is the least that we can do in return. So that there is show that there is some difference tonight. The night of Ashura and the day of Ashura at least. During this time, we need to refrain from joking together, from saying humorous things. Try to retain this sense of sorrow, this sense of grief. Try to sympathize with Imam Mahdi sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله The day of Karbala, the day of Ashura, the things that happen are all so sorrowful, I don't know where to begin. After all the companions had died, after all the warriors from the Ahlul Bayt have died, Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas heard the cries of the children calling out for water. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Ya Ammar. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Ya Ammar. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Ya Ammar, Ya Abbas. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Ya Ammar. Oh uncle, thirst is killing us. Can you get us some water? Can you fetch us some water? Oh, our brave and dear uncle. Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas, they went out together, back to back, fighting the enemies of God, trying to find a way to the water. At one point they were separated. Hazrat Abbas was able to reach the water according to some riwayat. He was really thirsty, he'd been fighting since the morning. He picked up some water to drink in his palms. He looked at the water, but he saw the face of his brother Hussein. He saw the face of Sukaina. He saw the face of Ali Aslam. He spilt the water. Picked up some water and went back toward the tents of Imam Hussein. He was attacked from all sides. His only concern was to get the water back to the children of Abu Abdullah. He was attacked, the water was spilled. His hands were cut off. When he fell to the ground, he called out, Ya Akha, Adrik Akhaak. Ya Akha, Adrik Akhaak. Ya Akha, Adrik Akhaak. Oh brother, my salutations to you. I am leaving this world. I would like to see you for the last time. They said goodbye together and they parted. Imam Hussein went back to the tents. He got prepared to go to fight the enemies of God. There was no one left to help him. He got on his horse, went to the battlefield. He fought very bravely. The reporters present on the desert of Karbala at the battlefield say, we had never seen a warrior so brave despite all the hardships that he had endured since the morning. He fought very bravely, but at one point, one of the enemies of God threw a stone at his holy forehead. Ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Aba Abdullah. It's difficult for us to even imagine that scene. But let's try to picture in our minds what happened to Imam Hussein. One of the enemies of God threw a stone that hit the forehead of Imam Hussein. How could they be so cruel? How could they be so ruthless? The son of Fatima, the grandson of the Prophet. These were people in Kufa. They'd seen his father. How could they be so cruel? They threw stones and one of them hit Imam Hussein in his forehead. Ya Aba Abdullah. He grasped his shirt, lifted his shirt wipe off the blood on his forehead. His beautiful and holy chest was exposed. One of the enemies of God took aim at the chest of Imam Hussein. يا مولاي يا عبد الله يا مولاي يا عبد الله. Imam Hussein lifted his shirt to clean his forehead, to wipe the blood off his forehead. One of the enemies of God took aim at the chest of Imam Hussein. It is said that the arrow that was aimed at the chest of Imam Hussein was a three-headed arrow. Do you know what three-headed arrows are? Do you know what it means to hit someone, to strike someone with a three-headed arrow? Three-headed arrows, when they go in, you can never take it out. They pierce and they go through the body. The enemy of God took aim at the beautiful and holy chest of Imam Hussein. And he struck. And it pierced through the chest of Imam Hussein. Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba Abdullah. It was a three-headed arrow. That means Imam Hussein can't take it out. From where it came in, from where it pierced in. What did Imam Hussein do? May thy life be sacrificed for him. He bent over and took the arrow out from the bag. Ya Barbden. He took the arrow out from the bag. Then one of the enemies of God came up to Imam Hussein and struck Imam Hussein with a spear in his side and knocked Imam Hussein down. One of the reporters present there says, I went close to Imam Hussein, such a beautiful face, shining in luminance. He was lying in his blood, but his face was so beautiful that I couldn't help but to stare at his beautiful face. And I could just wonder, how ruthless are these people? Look at this holy person. Look at this son of Fatima. Look at this grandson of Rasulullah. Such a beautiful face lying on the ground. Whispering to his God, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulullah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.